This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Real quick before we get to our guest, Katie, can you talk to us a little bit about the new contest that people can enter to win a spa package?
Which sounds lovely to me. So go to 971talk.com/contest. You will see Annie Fry baby pool up there.
Oh, boy.
We want to know what you think. When is the baby going to be born? We need the date. We need the time. We need the weight. We need the length of when you think baby number four, baby girl, is going to be born. And if you win, as Annie just said, you get to pick from three different options and go to a spa day. And If you're not into that, say you're a guy, you might not be into the spa day.
If you're a guy, you should be into it. You're missing out.
It's true. It's a wonderful experience. But you know what? Give it to your lovely wife. Give it to your daughter. Give it to a lady or a friend in your life. It is a great gift. And we just want to see what you guys think. We're all excited for Annie's baby. As you know, we've been going on this journey with her throughout her pregnancy. We want to see what you guys think. 971talk.com/contests. Put your guesses in there. We're going to ask your name. We're going to ask for your email. And that way, if you win, whoever is closest to that date, that time, that weight, that length is going to win, and our promotions director will contact you.
Pretty cool. I'm excited that somebody's going to get to have a lovely day.
Me too.
Because of this baby. Somebody else who's on baby watch right now, Mark Cox. Not
the himself. Conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government. Get off my back.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
Blind, dog-faced pony soldier.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
And that's the bottom line.
Mark, welcome to the show. Mark is host of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. You've got your own little baby watch going in your family right now.
I do, and I'm guessing I'm not eligible for your contest, so I'll keep my opinion to myself here.
Michael on Facebook says Mark is pregnant. No, Mark is not pregnant. His daughter is pregnant.
My oldest daughter is about to have her first child, and we couldn't be more excited. So the due date's May 28th. And I'm sure she's hoping it happens before then. I don't know how often that happens with first children, but we'll see.
Whatever you predict probably won't be what happens, but you just get to the point now where she's in the home stretch here. I'm sure she's excited about it. I was talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, and I said I'm going to start the interview with you off a little bit differently than normal. I remember preparing to be a parent for the first time, to be a mom, to be a dad for the first time. There's no amount of preparation that actually gets you into the mode that life throws at you in a hurry when they hand you the baby and they let you take it home from the hospital after 48 hours of meeting this new person. I'm curious how that compares to preparing to be a grandparent for the first time.
Oh, it's a piece of cake.
Piece of cake, huh?
It's a piece of cake. I mean, I remember being terrified, afraid I was going to drop the baby, afraid we wouldn't, you know, wash it the right way, or its head would fall underwater, or, I mean, just all these things that you have no idea. And maybe if you've grown up in a big family and you had to take care of a sibling, that's a little different. And I told my daughter that because she was 12 when her youngest sister was born. So she got a little more of the hands-on than a lot of kids might. I think she'll be pretty comfortable with it. Her husband probably, that's probably another story. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. We've had an opportunity to basically redo a baby room to be prepared for when he stays with us a couple days a week. So that's going to be nice. We got a nursery set up at our house.
That's so exciting. So I would assume that yourself and your wife are over the moon about this. Do you find yourself wanting to give advice, that pre-parent for the first time advice to your daughter and your son-in-law, or are you taking a hands-off approach? How do you go into knowing what they're about to experience because you experienced it yourself, and trying to balance that between not overdoing it?
See, you've said that question up so beautifully, and my answer is a very simple one. I'm just going to spoil the hell out of it and let them deal with the consequences.
You are ready to be grandpa. You were there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I remember when we were expecting our first, we went out and we bought the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah.
And as you're well aware now, it's all electronic, and she gets little text updates every day on how big the baby is and how big the baby is now to, I don't know,
produce.
A fruit or something
produce.
Like that. Or, but,
I don't
yeah,
even know what most of this produce is. I have to Google the produce to figure out how big the produce is, to figure out how big the baby is.
So it's a whole new world. And I think she's just going to go into this with a lot more confidence than we did, honestly.
Just real quick, Mark, I'm not trying to butter you up here. You don't seem that old. Is this one of those moments that you go, oh, man, I'm like crossing a new threshold? Or is it just kind of like, hey,
you know,
this is what happens?
I appreciate that, Ryan. I really do. But, you know, but I didn't get married till I was 30. So I knew people that had kids when they were the year after they graduated from high school. And at least one of them had one when they were still in high school.
Yeah.
So they're like great grandparents now. So I don't feel nearly as old as some of my classmates, I can tell you that.
This age is just a number. That's how you live it.
It's just a number. That's right.
We're speaking. I want to shift gears now a little bit here. We were speaking with Jane Duker a little bit earlier in the show. I know you've had conversations with Jane as well regarding the police situation in the city of St. Louis, and you know the idea that the vacancies that exist could be filled with counselors and social workers. And you traveled to downtown to broadcast the morning show here on 97.1 every day. I'm curious what you think about the direction St. Louis is headed right now with some of these decisions.
I worry about it, Annie. I got to listen to most of your interview with Jane, and you know, your point was perfectly on target. We're all proud to live in St. Louis. You know, I live in west of downtown, but if somebody asks me where I'm from, I tell them I'm from St. Louis. People are going to start getting a little sheepish about saying that, to be honest, if you're out of town, because we're getting such a horrible reputation. And instead of doing something constructive to fix it, we're going to take money away from the only force, the only group of people willing to run toward the gunfire. I do not understand what the squad, we've got our own little squad here, right? Bush and Gardner and Jones, and now Darlene Green, you can add her in, those four people. We have our own little four-person squad that's now in charge of policy for the city of St. Louis. And they've all embraced criminal justice reform, which is basically, let's just give the criminals a break. They're going to empty out the workhouse, which is filled with people awaiting trial, the few that have been arrested to await trial. Or let me take that back. A lot more people have been arrested than have ever been charged by Kim Gardner. So the ones she finally got around to charging with something, we put in the workhouse until we can get them to trial. And we're going to turn them loose in many cases on their own recognizance because we don't believe in cash bail anymore. We're going to turn them right back into the community where they caused problems to begin with. I don't see how this ends well. It's going to be a bloody summer in St. Louis. And I think, you know, at some point, the reality of that's got to sink in to these four individuals. I just pray that it does.
Is there an example that some of these, you know, very progressive leaderships in cities like St. Louis, is there an example somewhere else in the country where it's been really successful that they're trying to replicate that I'm missing?
Not that I know of. I mean, I have not seen that anywhere. In fact, in a couple of cities, including, I believe, Minneapolis, check me on that, but I think I was reading an article about Minneapolis. They voted to defund the police to some extent, and they had to reinstate some of that money because crime numbers started shooting through the roof. I heard you and Jane talk about this, but if the criminals don't have any reason to fear getting arrested, they're just emboldened. This is like the best parallel I can think of is what I heard coming out of the mouth of Kamala Harris at that event she attended yesterday with some of these nations in Central America. She's arguing people don't want to come here. They have to come here because the situation's so bad. So in other words, the bright neon open sign is open on our southern border, and it's creating a disaster. That's what we're telegraphing to these criminals. You go ahead and do what you want. You're not even going to get caught for the small crimes, and you probably won't get caught for the big ones because we don't have enough police officers to work the job. And, you know, I just spoke to a good friend of mine the other day who's an officer in the city, and they're just flabbergasted by what's gone on. They just can't believe it. You know, they said we're able to hold our head above water as long as we've got money there to pay overtime so we can have people working double shifts to cover all the bodies that just aren't there anymore. And then they take away some of that funding too. He was just baffled.
Yeah. You know, Mark, as you've been talking about this issue for a while, you know, we have here on the Andy Frye Show, Mark Reardon has, at some point, you keep sounding the alarm, and yet people just keep doing the opposite. All these things that are happening specifically to the city of St. Louis, but we talk about national things too. They're self-inflicted wounds. These are things that we could fix. I mean, you've got to be going a little bit crazy because you've been focusing on this probably more than anybody for so long.
For years.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know, I've said it before. The city of St. Louis has unfortunately become a vacuum in which only the thoughts and the plans of one party have been heard for 60 years now. And unfortunately for that party, it's now been hijacked by a group of even further left progressives, both in the Board of Aldermen, now in the mayor's office, now in the circuit attorney's office, now in the comptroller's office. And they're running the show. People who vote in the city of St. Louis have allowed that to happen. And while I'm terrified at what's going to happen next, the citizens here have nobody to blame but themselves. You're right. We've been talking about this for a long time. Here's what's going to happen if we don't correct this course. You know, I was talking this morning to one of my guests, and I think it was Chris Arps, and I said, listen, it's fine to acknowledge the fact that crime doesn't just happen. Crime is driven by socioeconomics and people that are in situations where they don't feel like they have any other options. And we know there are a lot of reasons why these things happen. But simply pulling police back is not the answer. If you think you need to put more money into these situations, I understand that. You need to have counselors. You need to have more social programs available, all that stuff. That's fine. But simply taking away the people that are willing to run toward the gunfire is not the solution. But there doesn't seem to be anybody left in St. Louis with the power to get that point across.
Who are elected to fill these positions, making these decisions. At the end of the day, who do you have to blame but the people who continue to put the same politicians in these positions to make these decisions? It's just very
true.
It's very cyclical, and it's very frustrating. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We appreciate you all the time. We'll be tuning in tomorrow morning to listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Annie, thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Also streaming on the Odyssey app if you haven't downloaded it yet. please do. 97.1 FM Talk, find that station. Click the little heart next to it, and you can stream us anytime, anywhere. You can also rewind the app. So if you heard half of that interview, but you wanted to hear the whole thing, you can get on that Odyssey app. You can rewind to the point that you want to listen to. Pretty handy, kind of like DVR for radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Amy Cordy, who is the Vice President of Policy at Illinois Policy Institute, is going to talk to us about how teachers' unions have been working behind the scenes to really push a bill that's going to implement new health rules on all in-person schooling. Yes, not just public. That means private schools, too. You're sending your kid to a school outside of the public schools because you don't want the public school influence? Well, they're going to work very hard to get in that classroom as well. And Amy Cordy with the Illinois Policy Institute is going to tell us how in just a minute. Don't go away.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some time with us. Rainy Tuesday afternoon, but we're here nonetheless, and we're glad that you are as well. We've got a guest now I want to get to. Amy Cordy is the Vice President of Policy at Illinois Policy Institute, talking to us a little bit about teacher union influence right now on health rules for all in school or in-person schooling coming up. Amy, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. I want to ask you to kind of set the table for us about these new health rules that are being pushed in this bill with the influence of the teachers' unions in the state. About how these health rules could affect all in-person schooling, both public and private.
This is a bill that is currently pending in the Illinois Senate. It passed the House chamber on a pretty much straight party line vote, and it would require the Illinois Department of Public Health to establish a requirement for all in-person schooling at all Illinois public and non-public schools. And the bill includes personal protective equipment, social distancing, occupancy limits, cleaning, symptom screening. But there's no mention made of an emergency health situation.
Amy, so I'm going to interrupt you here real quick. We're having some trouble with your signal there. I want to make sure that we get this loud and clear here. So, Katie, maybe we can check on that and make sure that we get her more clear, because it's so important. What she's saying here is so ridiculous that, as she said, this bill has passed the House and it is sitting in the Senate right now. And, you know, what they basically want to do is to be able to police education across the state, and that education being public or private, to make sure that they have a hand in what continues to proceed and what doesn't continue to proceed. It's a very disconcerting thing for me, specifically as somebody who has a vested interest in a quality public education and also private education. Amy, we got you back there. I want to ask you again to kind of set the table. Just got a little muffled there, and want to make sure people know what you're talking about here. So these health rules that are being implemented by this bill currently in the Senate, what would they establish?
They would require the Illinois Department of Public Health to set some rules for all in-person instruction in all Illinois public and non-public schools. And the bill, as it's written now, says that the rules should cover social distancing and personal protective equipment and cleaning and symptom screening and all those kind of terms that we heard during the COVID pandemic and that are still going on. But this would apply to all in-person schooling, even in non-emergency situations. That's how the bill is written. And there are only four parties that are in favor of this bill so far publicly, and that's the Illinois Education Association and the Illinois Federation of Teachers. There are 89 opponents who filed public opposition to the bill, and included among the opponents are the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Illinois State Board of Education.
It seems to me, my understanding is that the Illinois State Board of Education specifically has always championed, you know, a very local control over measures like this. And this would be taking that local control away from these different school districts across the state to manage this, and also a gross infiltration onto private education, parochial education, basically, as you said, non-public education, for them to police these kinds of measures. Can you tell us a little bit of how this would functionally work across the state?
Yeah, there would be rules that the Illinois Department of Public Health would promulgate if this ends up passing the legislature and then assigned by the governor. And you're talking about really detailed measures, which, as you point out, would be a big incursion into the way schools normally operate. You don't usually run your desk spacing, room plan by the Illinois Department of Public Health if you're planning a second grade classroom in any public school or private school. And this would allow the Illinois Department of Public Health to come in and close lunchrooms, cafeteria, the whole school down if there's a violation reported until that violation is remedied. And it is curious that the Illinois Department of Public Health has filed opposition to this. Maybe they don't want to write rules for all times in all places in all Illinois schools that would govern every conceivable circumstance for social distancing and desk placement and masks. Why would we even be writing mask rules, enshrining them in rules now, when the pandemic is changing rapidly as it is, and next year there might not be COVID, or the year after there might not be, or there might be something else that's not even transmitted the same way? So this bill is really bad legislation, and it's very interesting that the body that the bill would, you know, put in charge of making and enforcing these rules doesn't seem to want any part of it.
Amy Cordy is Vice President of Policy at Illinois Policy. Normally, when you hear these things, you kind of get that there's a motivation behind, you know, each group is jockeying for position and wanting their interest upheld. This one doesn't make sense to me, Amy. You have teachers' unions that are representing the teachers and students, that it seems like these rules would negatively affect them long term. I don't get the motivation there.
Well, the teachers' unions represent their members. They don't represent Illinois students, though. And the teachers' unions were some of the biggest forces against reopening schools in Illinois, especially in places like Chicago. The Chicago Teachers Union really put up a big fight about reopening classrooms, and then nationwide as well. And the IEA, the Illinois Education Association, is really the party that conceived of the bill and is really pushing it. And you can imagine that they assume they would have some kind of influence over the rulemaking process, perhaps, or that they could pressure the IDPH to come up with really restrictive rules that would set the guidelines much stricter than what they already were during the pandemic. Because when the Illinois State Board of Education and IDPH issued guidelines last summer, the teachers' unions didn't like them. They didn't think they went far enough. So you can assume that they would want very restrictive guidelines, and then that would have made in-person schooling impossible for many of the districts that were able to pull it off, and many of the private schools and parochial schools that have been operating and giving education in person to their students all throughout the school year. So this is definitely where I think that would probably be heading.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head for me specifically about the frustration that I have, massive frustration that I have with a bill like this. I don't understand what rights they would be able to have to come in and supervise and dictate to these parochial and private schools to take away the autonomy that they have there. It seems to me that if this is being advocated by the teachers' unions, and they are looking to have a vast overreach into an area where those teachers' unions have no influence right now, which is private and parochial education, which is an alternative to a lot of what is being pushed right now, especially when you consider critical race theory and some of the other things that are being pushed into our classrooms right now. People are looking for alternatives to public education right now. I mean, it seems to me like the connection to the teachers union pushing this bill and infiltration on how schools who have been functioning, my kids go to one of them in person for the entire school year this year, that this is basically trying to limit competition for the public schools that don't have the ability, the leeway, the freedom right now to make those decisions for themselves. They want to take that away from these private parochial entities. That's very disconcerting to me.
It is. That is a very long reach for the teachers' unions to try to be influencing the minutiae of the rules that govern in-person schooling in every single school across Illinois. This is not something, like I said before, that schools are used to having to run by the state public health department, and to issue one-size-fits-all standards from Springfield that would affect schools in every corner of the state is really wildly overreaching.
Yeah. Well, Amy Cordy, I'm encouraging people to go to illinoispolicy.org. We're going to share this article that you have written called Illinois Teachers Unions Push Bill for New Health Rules on All In-Person Schooling. So people know what's going on and they can act accordingly. As you said, this is currently in the Senate, correct?
That's right. It's still in the Senate Assignments Committee, so it's not up for a hearing yet. But what we expect, in the next few weeks of session, the remaining legislative session, it will probably be called.
Okay. Well, we will be paying attention to it. We thank you for bringing this to our attention as well, Amy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Annie.
Of course. Amy Cordy, the VP of Policy at the Illinois Policy Institute. Learn more at illinoispolicy.org. We will share this article along with this interview, and I would love for you to read it and share it when we get it up on our Facebook page, or we'll tweet it out as well. And make sure the people know that this is what's going on. Massive, massive overreach in the state of Illinois. I know everybody's shocked, absolutely just shocked at that. We're going to take a quick break. The president is speaking right now. We're going to listen into what he's saying. According to Fox News, Biden is speaking amid COVID confusion. Well, that narrows it down. We'll listen into what he has to say and bring you the highlights and the lowlights when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We are listening in right now as President Biden is speaking from the White House about next steps after we've had a lot of people get vaccinated. They've been talking about those who are eager to get vaccinated. We've pretty much gotten to the point where we've vaccinated most of those people. The question is, what does the Biden administration say is next? Let's listen in.
Now, where do we go from here? Well, as we anticipated, the pace of vaccination is slowing. Now the majority of American adults have already gotten their first shot. But we're still vaccinating millions of Americans every day. In fact, in the last 10 days, one out of every 10 adult Americans got a shot. But soon we'll have reached the adults who are most eager to get vaccinated. And at that point, this effort will shift to a new phase, which is what I want to talk about today. Our new phase will focus on three areas. First, kids, children between the ages of 12 and 15 years of age. They're not yet eligible for a vaccine. The FDA scientists are currently reviewing the data to decide if and when to authorize that age range for vaccinations. The FDA and the FDA alone will make that decision. But today, I want American parents to know that if that announcement comes, we are ready to move immediately. Immediately move to make about 20,000 pharmacy sites across the country ready to vaccinate those adolescents as soon as the FDA grants its okay. Now, most Americans have a vaccination site about as close as their house is near to a neighborhood school. We're also going to slip vaccines directly to pediatricians, ship them to pediatricians during the following weeks. So parents and their children can talk to their family doctor about it and get the shot from a provider they trust the most. Easy, fast, and free. And if teens are on the move this summer, they can get their first shot in one place and a second shot elsewhere. We know that adolescents are at risk from COVID-19, though serious illness at that age range is rare. They can still get sick and spread the virus to others. So my hope is that if the vaccine is authorized, parents will take advantage of it and get their kids vaccinated. The second area of focus is making it more convenient for everyone to get a vaccine. We know that many adults have not been vaccinated because they have found it too confusing or too difficult or too inconvenient to get a shot. So for those having trouble finding a location or making an appointment, we're going to make it easier than ever. We have formally launched a simple website where you can find the vaccination location closest to you. That site is vaccines.gov. Let me say it again, vaccines.gov. Go there now. Find a location to get the shot and make an appointment. Also today, if you prefer texting, we have another easy way to get the shot. Text your zip code to the following number, 438829. Your zip code to that number, 438829. And you'll get text back to the location that is nearest you with vaccines in stock right then and there. Yes, you can text your zip code right now to 438829 and get text back within minutes to places nearest to you to get a vaccination that are available immediately. So send this to your kids, your grandkids, your friends who have not been vaccinated yet. Now, I know some people find making an appointment in advance inconvenient. So starting this week, we're also going to direct all federal pharmacy partners to begin to provide walk-in hours. You'll soon be able to get vaccinated without an appointment at the vast majority of our 40,000 pharmacy locations across the country. We're also encouraging our state and local partners to have a walk-in ability as well to the sites that they run. And beginning next week, we'll be shipping new allocations of vaccine to rural health clinics, getting more vaccines to more rural clinics so Americans who don't live near one of the 75,000 vaccination sites will have new options that may be closer, than anything they thought. We know that vaccination rates are lower in rural areas, and that's why we're going to get vaccines closer than ever to rural residents. Also, as we wind down the large mass vaccination sites, we'll move towards smaller locations, even more convenient to the unvaccinated. So, for those who don't want to drive the distance to a large vaccination site, we'll have sites, smaller sites, closer to the unvaccinated. And for the first 100 days, our goal will be to make it possible for people to come and get vaccinated and will succeed beyond anyone's expectations, I believe. Now we're going to have to bring the vaccine to people who are less eager. So we also know that there are millions of Americans who just need a little bit of encouragement to get the shot. I recently called on employers to do their part by offering paid time off for employees to get vaccinated and opening up a tax credit program that reimburses the businesses for the cost of giving the employee the time off to get vaccinated. And I want to thank the 1,000 businesses that have stepped up so far. We're also going to roll out new partnerships with the business community. We're working with major businesses like grocery stores to provide special deals like discounts to shoppers who come to the stores to get vaccinated. And it works both ways. Bring them in to get vaccinated, but when they're in, they'll get discounts to purchase goods in that store. Further, we're working with major sports leagues to launch special promotions for their fans. Things like ticket giveaways, in-stadium vaccination programs, discounts on merchandise, and other creative ways to make it easier and more fun to get vaccinated. Now, I'm making it sound more fun to get vaccinated, but it doesn't hurt to get vaccinated. I'm not saying it's fun, but they'll be able to have other things available besides being protected from the virus. Let me repeat, we're going to make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gov, vaccines.gov, or text your zip code to 438829. Walk into your local pharmacy without an appointment. Go to the doctor or local health clinic. It's free. It's nearby. Every adult is eligible. You know, go get the shot as soon as you can. The third area of our focus is Americans who still aren't sure they want to get vaccinated. We've seen the confidence in vaccines rise steadily these past few months among virtually every segment of the population. And as more and more Americans see their friends and family get vaccinated, they're making the choice to get vaccinated themselves. Democrats and Republicans, progressives, conservatives, people of all persuasions are getting vaccinated. In fact, the fact is that nearly 85% of seniors have had at least one vaccination shot, and the wide cross-section of the nation trusts the vaccine, regardless of race or ideology. Now, we need to make the same progress for those under 65 years of age. There are a lot of younger people, especially those in their 20s and 30s, who believe they don't need it. Well, I want to be absolutely clear, you do need to get vaccinated. Getting vaccinated not only protects you, it also reduces the risk that you give the virus to somebody else. It could save your life or the lives of people you love. We're still losing hundreds of Americans under 65 years of age every week, and many more are getting seriously ill from long stretches of the time. Look, even if your chance of getting seriously ill is low, why take the risk when you have a safe, free, and convenient way to prevent it? Additionally, we know that some people may need more information to decide whether to get the vaccine. There is now plenty of information for people to do their homework within nearly 150 Americans living, in fact, with 150 million Americans that are living now, have gotten the vaccine. Talk to someone you trust, like your physician or your pharmacist, or people who have already been vaccinated. Talk to your faith leaders or others in your community that you trust. Look to those people to help answer your questions. I want to be clear. I've been saying this a long time, but I really believe this is not a Democrat or a Republican issue. Science behind the vaccines has been under development for decades. Two of our vaccines were authorized under prior administrations, Republican administrations. My administration, the Democratic administration, is doing the work to get hundreds of millions of shots in arms. While we may not always agree on everything, this is one thing people across the political spectrum can agree on. So I want to thank prominent conservatives like Mitch McConnell and a large group of Republican members of Congress who have medical training, who have advanced getting vaccinated. I also want to thank the 105 million Americans of every background who are fully protected from one of the deadliest pandemics in our history. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but there's one fact I want every American to know. People who are not fully vaccinated can still die every day from COVID-19. Look at the folks in your community who've gotten vaccinated and are getting back to living their lives, their full lives. Look at the grandparents united with their grandchildren, friends getting together again. This is your choice. It's life and death. And I hope everyone knows within themselves, it makes the choice that will, it's going to help them and their loved ones be safe. Get our businesses open again and get us back to normal. Again, in the next 2 months, our focus is going to be on three groups. Kids between 12 and 15 who are awaiting potential FDA authorization to get a shot. Two, adults who have had trouble locating a place to get a shot or who just haven't gotten around to it. And three, those who need more convincing, being convinced of the necessity of getting the vaccine. As we turn to this new phase, we're also setting a new goal. 2 months from today, families across the country are going to celebrate the 4th of July. Our goal by July 4th is to have 70% of adult Americans at least one shot and 160 million Americans fully vaccinated. That means giving close to 100 million shots, some first shots, other second shots, over the next 60 days. Of course, Americans can still get shots after July 4th, but no one should wait. Let's try to hit that 70% mark, at least with one shot before that day. It's another huge goal. And as you may remember, we were initially focused on getting enough vaccines for every adult. Well, we did that. We have enough vaccines. Now that we have the vaccine supply, we're focused on convincing even more Americans to show up and get the vaccine that is available to them. If we succeed in this effort, as we did with the last, then Americans will have taken a serious step towards a return to normal. That's July 4th. But we're not there yet. That's why I'm asking people to continue to follow the CDC guidelines as we work to get more people vaccinated. And to clear up any confusion, the good news is that last week the CDC said that vaccinated people do not need to wear their masks outside unless there are very crowded settings like a sporting event. And if we can continue to drive vaccinations up and caseloads down, we'll need our masks even less and less. I know it will take time to get everyone back to everything back to normal. You know, we're all going to have to be patient with one another. Masks have needlessly divided this country. Masking, as directed, is a patriotic duty, but so too is treating each other with respect and patience. One final point. As I said in my address to Congress last week, Congress is going to be the arsenal for fighting COVID-19, just like we were the arsenal for democracy in World War II. not only because it will have kept us safe, but because of it's who we are. Well, we've already committed to work to send 60 million doses of AstraZeneca vaccine to other countries, starting this month and into June.
You know, when I was listening to him talk about how he's trying to clear up COVID confusion, I now understand mask wearing is confusing for people because the CDC said you didn't have to wear it outside, but the CCD must be the one that he's following where he goes to give the announcement that says you don't have to wear masks outside at an outside press event while he's wearing said mask. The confusion. Where is this confusion coming from? It's the CCD. Who knew? Now I understand. Everything makes more sense.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Happy May 4th, people. I got nothing. Jim Carafano's going to have to clean up this mess when he comes back, as he always does. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.